Yes. Hey, we are back here, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show!
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have something very special for you. If you were not there, you missed out on a hell of a DC Podfest. Isn't that right, Carolyn?
It was a great time. And not only that, I think what made it the most special was our special guest. And you're going to be able to listen to the live recording of Carolyn and Joe Show at the inaugural DC Podfest, which just happened this past Saturday, November 7th, 2015. We had a special guest on our show. You may know him as Shocked Undertaker Guy, but we know him as Ellis Emba. So enjoy this show. It was very special because of Ellis.
Hey, buddy. I'm not even taking a seat. I don't even care at this point. But we are here. We are here live at the DC Podfest. First one ever done. I'm freaking excited. I think Jennifer's doing an awesome job. I think everyone is doing an awesome job. So we're here. I'm so happy to be having the Carolyn Joe Show at the DC Podfest. How are you feeling, Carolyn?
Feeling excellent.
Feeling absolutely excellent?
Yes.
Should we start this like we do our normal show? Or
yes.
Is the live? Hey, everyone, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn Joe Show! It's no secret. It's no secret. Carolyn and I are massive professional wrestling fans, right?
Woo!
You're even wearing a CM Punk. I didn't even know you were wearing a CM Punk shirt today. That's awesome. That's why we're friends.
That's why we're the best in the world.
Yes, we're the best in the world. But Carolyn.
Yes.
Something special today, right?
Yes, we have a special guest. But first, before we announce who is here.
Do we have a clip?
We have a clip.
We have a clip, just to remind everyone.
A visual.
Now, look carefully. Look carefully.
Man is very old.
Again.
Oh, God, it's been 20 years.
All right, Brock Lesnar counter. Brock Lesnar counter. Lesnar counter. He's got Undertaker over his shoulders again.
Not again.
20 years, guys.
A third and fourth to the Undertaker. Brock Lesnar into the cover. Punch the leg. The streak.
It's over.
What?
It's over.
The streak. Look at his face. Look at that face.
Oh my God.
Look at that face. Just look at him.
Oh my gosh.
And now look at him walking the stage right now, Mr. Ellis Emba.
Yes. AKA Shocked Undertaker Guy.
How's it going, sir? Have a seat.
That's going good. Thank you.
Going great.
It's going fantastic.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm not going to lie. It's so shocking. It's so shocking to know that you're from this area.
Yeah. I was born here. I've grown up here. I've been here all my life.
That's like that. You know, it's amazing because like really, when we were watching, is it okay if we just have this?
Yeah, it's okay.
Remember, $9.99.
All the time.
I felt it was okay that I left the WWE's ad up there since whatever. Maybe they'll give me some money.
$10. $10.
I'm gonna run you through this night, Ellis. My name's Joe, by the way. I'm gonna run through this night. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna be true. I have a gimmick. I have my own life gimmick. I cannot lie. I swear to you. I don't know if you. I know lying is bad, but I just that's my gimmick is not to lie. So we were watching this, you know, everyone goes to WrestleMania. We're friends watching WrestleMania. You were watching WrestleMania. So I'm not gonna lie, Carolyn fell asleep during this match. She was flat out sleeping.
Yes.
Flat, just comes though. Yeah, but see, when the Undertaker got pinned, she literally was like, what?
I was like this, like, okay. This is good live radio. So I'm lying.
Carolyn's laying flat on the floor.
Barely watching, my eyes were barely open, and I was going in and out of sleep. And then as soon as the pin was happening, I literally rose like the Undertaker. I was like, what? I had the same expression as you, and I rose up from sleep. And I was like, unbelievable. I mean, we should say that The Undertaker has had his streak for, what was it, 21
20
years?
20 years, yeah. And here's the thing.
Was it 21?
It was 21.
And 21.
I'll be honest with you. Maybe a lot of people agree with this, but that match, it wasn't that great of a match. To me, it wasn't punching. So there's two things. There's only two things I remember from WrestleMania 30. That was 30.
That was 30, right?
Yep.
All right.
WrestleMania 30. Daniel Bryan winning in your face. I swear to God, dude. I swear. And immediately, I went to my friend. My friend Daniel was like, "Who's that guy?
Who is that guy? That guy was awesome.
Who is that man?"
We were like Googling who that was.
And I don't know if you had a chance to pay attention to it, but I swear to you, at least 2 minutes after that, you already had a fan Facebook page.
Yeah.
Was that you?
No. So someone made an account on Twitter named Black Taker Guy. And I was like, what? Oh, all names, like, yeah, that's the, I'm gonna be that fan, but.
I mean, but,
yeah.
Like, you know.
No, but the next match, the guy in the second row tapped my shoulder, and he said, "Dude, you're me," and showed me the picture. I was like, but I mean, I'm a WrestleMania, I'm front row WrestleMania, so
yeah.
I'm thinking about, whatever's happening.
You're like, I spent 10 grand to get here.
Right, I spent a lot of money to sit in the seat right here.
Yeah.
I'm focusing on what's happening right in front of me. So,
are you amazed at how fast that happened? Because, like, in a way, you know, and this is the way the internet is, like, that type of instant fame, in a way, for someone else to make your, that's the dream, for someone else to make your own fan page. You know what I mean? That's really what it's all about. I feel like if someone else does the job for you, you're famous in a way, you know?
I feel like I'm recognizable.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I'm famous.
But, like, at that moment, at this moment, sir, at this time, I swear to you, that was the only face that we were seeing for like weeks on end through the network that's happening to.
Yes.
I really, you know, when it comes down to it, I've always wanted to have those seats. I've always wanted to have those seats just to be like on the camera side, but the fact is, I mean, was this planned? You're wearing a white shirt. That's just, you know, it's like.
Well, I lost the bet.
You lost the bet?
So
and you ended up in WrestleMania?
No. So I was going, I mean, I got front row. I saved like a year and a half of this.
Save money for
right,
yeah.
to sit here. And I got the seats, I opened my package up, and it was a travel package they sell.
I'm sure you bought it online or did you go like,
No, WWE sells a travel package every year.
Yeah.
In November. So you can buy tickets, it'd be front row, they give you everything. And I told this guy, I was like, you know what, if Triple H loses, I'm a big Triple H fan, period.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's facing whoever.
Yeah.
It's Triple H. And I was like, well, if he loses, I will switch my shirt to a Daniel Bryan shirt.
Does that mean you did not like Daniel Bryan?
Oh, I hated him.
Did you hear that?
I'm
look at this guy.
I'm so sorry. I'm like having a stroke right now.
This guy, man, both of these guys, they got like the best vlogs out there.
He's like the shot of Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Guy.
I told him in his face. I was like,
you told Daniel Bryan in his face?
During the meeting, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I actually went up to him. I paid to crap him. So I paid money to go up there. He signed my belt. And I was like, guess what? It's a Triple H belt. This is the closest you're going to get.
Oh,
Jack didn't know. I'm like, sign. And he was like, you just paid to crap on me? I was like, yeah. And he was like, I bet you won't say that out loud. I said, I bet you don't know me. So I turned around to the audience, like to everyone in line,
yeah.
And yells, he's going to lose. Triple H is going to win. And then everyone was, it was fun. But
you know what? That's pro wrestling.
Yeah, dude, it's emotion. It's great. It's good stuff.
That's what I love about it. I mean, a lot of people may dislike it in a way, but that's what makes pro wrestling so great. Is that, you know, it's okay to hate. You're supposed to do whatever you want.
Right. I mean, they bring out our emotion there, our inner child. That's what, you know, that's the whole point of the show.
But the great part is that your emotion at that moment defines wrestling to this day. Like, I knew your face since the WrestleMania moment, but. When I thought about what guests we could get for the live show at DC PodFest, I thought of you, and when I didn't have like the exact moment of your face, like I had it envisioned in my mind, but then when I looked at it intensely just this past week, I was like, man, this guy's face is even better than ever now that I look at it like on pause. It's like, not only that,
she went into great detail about why your face is such a fabulous face.
Yes, because like also just the eyebrows, first of all, the eyebrows are shocked. The eyes are shocked enough that you see the whites all around the pupil, like all around the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Full eyes.
And his glasses are crooked.
That's what I'm getting to, the glasses. are crooked on the face, and the nostrils are flared out. It's like every part of your facial feature is an extreme expression of just so many emotions in one moment, and like your mouth, and then you're only showing like the bottom row of your teeth. It's just a perfect face, man. And I know you weren't even planning on doing that. Like, that is a real emotion, and that's what I think is great about you, and you being like one of WWE's number one fans, and you will always stay that way because of that moment. It's like it's an unplanned miracle I know you don't want to say it's fame, but it is a certain level of fame.
I'd like to dig into this moment. Okay, you got the front row seat, right?
Right.
You saw him lose. You were even like thinking you were going to be on camera, I'm assuming.
Well, so my wife texted me because she saw me in the beginning of the show.
Wait, is she not even at the...
No, no.
Did she get her ticket?
I'm sorry, sir. It's expensive.
Did you ask her though? Be like, hey, you want to go to WrestleMania? It wasn't like she denied it, right?
You were there by yourself?
I was there by myself.
You were by yourself?
Dude, do you know this cost? It's expensive.
How much is it? Are you allowed to say?
$1 million? $1,000. This was $4,000.
What?
Yeah, this you got front row seats here, you got front row at Hall of Fame. So I was right behind the wrestlers in the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah.
I met the Undertaker and some other person also. I went to Raw. I mean, it was a full
package. Right, cool.
Yeah,
right.
It was worth it.
Sure.
But yeah. I mean, well,
now it is.
Yeah, right. but it.
The price of fame.
Well, the price of living out a dream.
Yeah.
You know, it was the price of living out a dream. It was a. I always wanted to do that since I was a kid. I mean, everyone's watches WrestleMania there.
But by yourself, sir?
Dude, you know, my wife loves me, and I love her, and we went on the trip for her anyway, earlier in the year.
You had to fly there by yourself too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I can see
that,
though.
Actually, that was free. Southwest gave me some credit.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It all worked out in the very end.
But when this moment happened, I mean, you were having a great show before this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would actually like to know, were you actually that shocked? Were you that shocked?
Well... I don't think
we realized. Were you playing it up?
No, people don't.
I think he was. No, that's legit.
Oh, this is legit, but the thing is, people don't realize why I made that face. A lot of people don't know, again, they did an interview with me, and then they were like, whoa, what? I wasn't rooting for Taker. I actually didn't care for Taker. I wanted him to lose. I was rooting for Brock Lesnar the whole time.
Oh, so this is the face of a dream come true.
This is the face of, oh my God, I'm a wizard. Okay, this is the face of, I was like, wow, I'm a wizard.
Yeah.
I don't ever have to go back to Mania again because I just saw history.
Yeah.
But like, that was like, I just witnessed history. Like,
see, let's think of the fact that you were part of history too. All right, so DVDs, you're in that, right? Yeah. You had a segment. You had even like articles on the net on the website.
WWE.com.
Of course, people can see you all the time. $9.99 on the network.
The best value in sports.
But not only that, how many countries? Like every country in the world.
Worldwide. You were like the face of at least a week worth of news.
But it's continuing.
You're on TMZ.
That was the Auburn one.
Did you collect these moments?
Some of them. Some of them I didn't really care to, but like some of my...
Why? What were the ones that... Because that was...
Some of them got a little out of hand.
Did you get paid?
You know, what?
Is that a question? I don't
know what you're talking
about. But the face is everywhere, and it's just an amazing moment. And also, I have a theory, actually. It might be conspiracy about the moment, because I actually thought Undertaker's streak is going to go long. Like, I thought that they would... Like, at first, when he didn't give it up at 20, because I thought it would be like a landmark number to give it up at. And was that the CM Punk year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, and they CM Punk, you know, obviously didn't win that, and like I had hopes that maybe that could happen, you know, but that did not work. But then I was like, well, maybe Undertaker will go to 25, because that's like, you know, that's another legendary number mark that you got to get it at. And I was not expecting it to happen. And I think that Undertaker, you know, he's getting a little old, and I like Undertaker. But, you know, there comes a moment in time where you just gotta hang up the hat, you know? And so I actually
pass
think...
Pass the torch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this whole decision was not even Vince's or, you know, Triple H's or whoever's decision. I think that this, or it wasn't, you know, creative didn't write this. I think that Undertaker just did not get up. in my personal opinion.
Oh, you think that he was legit injured?
No, I think that like he was just like
at that moment he was like, I'm done.
He was just like, I'm done, and Brock can have it, and the streak is over, and I determined it. That's what I think.
Well, it was kind of awkward because I was there, and the referee looked confused.
The whole moment.
Everyone, like, we were staying there, and it just looked really awkward. Like, he's gonna get fired. Like, the look on his face is like, I'm gonna get fired. I just hit the ring. I'm getting fired. Like, the look on his face, and then the screen went black.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if I haven't actually seen WrestleMania 30. I haven't watched all the way through. I just can't. I have like flashbacks, like what's it called, post traumatic.
Was that post traumatic?
I can't watch it. I'm like, oh, I'm there again.
Oh, that's true. That's so, like the Johnny Depp thing. It's like he
watches the movie.
Yeah, you don't watch your own performance.
But like it was awkward, and but the screen went black, and then
what screen went black?
The big screens.
Oh yeah.
They all went black, and then it was like a weird awkward moment, like no one knew what was going on, and then they put up the 21-1.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So. I don't know if Vince was the only person who knew that, since someone typed it. I mean, like, you could tell, like,
he was probably oh, backstage crap. That was like, put that in there.
It was like PowerPoint. Okay, yeah. Take it down. Okay, change the number real quick.
Yeah.
And put it up, but,
So that would go with my theory. I really think Taker was just like, I'm done and I'm not getting up and this is it.
He's like, just fuck this, I can do what I want.
But that man was concussed. He was concussed, though. That guy, he was not okay when he walked out.
Yeah.
He was... I haven't seen someone walk out broken.
Mm.
Like, we talk about play for the camera and stuff like that. That dude was hurt.
Yeah.
And
there's a couple instances recently that I think he like collapsed after exiting just recently.
SummerSlam, I was there for that. Yeah. It was also the most awkward moments.
That's really what I want to know, man. And I need to get your hook up because how do you get these seats, man?
Oh, dude.
Is that easy?
Like everyone else.
Like everyone else.
Like everyone else. Like so I did the travel package for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's a guaranteed way to get a great seat, period.
Did you get the shoes, or did they just give you a random?
Back then, which is 2 years ago,
yeah.
You had no idea until you get the package in the mail.
Okay.
Like on
so
YouTube,
you open it up and it tells you where your seats are.
Right. Like on YouTube, I actually.
You did an unboxing.
Yeah, my wife was holding the camera.
You did an unboxing.
Dude, again, $4,000. Okay. You're opening a box. If you open a $4,000 envelope, it's on camera.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Yeah. And I opened it up. My wife was recording, and I had no idea until I looked at the tickets. And then I saw the ticket, and I told her...
Now, did they do anything special with this package? Like,
you get, like a golden ticket,
yeah,
like a Charlie and the picture?
Actually, yeah, it's in a golden envelope.
Oh,
yeah, so, like, the picture in the envelope, it's like a little... It's really fancy. I still have mine. I'm not going to get rid of it.
You should frame it. $1,000.
Yeah. So, actually, I was trying to, but someone... one of these companies charges way too much to archive stuff.
What?
But, yeah.
It's like Frank. Go to Michael's, man.
Again, that was from But it, no, I didn't know. And then when I got the tickets in the mail, but now if you do the top package,
yeah.
The next day where you're sitting.
Oh, okay.
If you do the very top package, like the one above mine.
You pay just more. You just pay a little more.
You pay $2,000 more, I think.
Ooh.
Jeez.
But you get to have, like, this year they're having, like, they're going on a dude ranch with a legend, and they're going to do extra stuff.
Ew.
That's a dude ranch?
Hey, you know, it's with a legend, though. It's with a legend.
It's weird.
It sounds weird, but
when you know the stories in the back
fun,
about
right?
What those guys do, it makes it weird.
You know, it sounds weird, but it's a legend. You gotta think that.
Speaking of boys in the back, I saw that picture with it's you and Triple H. I saw that segment. You cried,
yes.
Sir.
Yes.
You cried.
Yes.
I really appreciate that you cried for wrestling.
Do you know why I cried?
I want you to tell us why you cried. Because he's, I don't know when it
began. Is he a hero?
Because really, very few times do I see people who are fans of Triple H. I want you to just tell the world, why do you love Triple H, man?
And when did it start?
When did it
Was
start?
This like the Hunter Hearst Helmsley time where he would have his hand behind his
No.
Back?
I liked him on TV because back when he was DX and stuff like that. And
I thought you were going to say terrorizing.
No.
From the start.
But when my connection with him started when I read his book, Building the Game.
Building the Game?
Yeah, it was a fitness book. So basically, he wrote a book about his life. The book is really not the best written book. It's not really that great.
Was he a ghostwriter on it, or is it just straight up him?
No, it was a ghostwriter. Okay. I mean, but it still wasn't that great of a book. But okay. It had a workout routine and the nutrition thing, the nutrition plan. And I read it, and at the time I weighed 375. And
What year was that? Is that 2000s?
We're in 2000 right now, aren't we?
Sort of.
2015.
Yeah,
well,
so,
early.
Well, now we're in the 2010s, I guess.
I want to say it was 2007.
Okay. I didn't even know this book came out. Yeah. All I've heard is like, King of Kings, but I don't know. He only has all these.
Do you have his workout DVD?
Well, no, I don't have his workout DVD. I think it's a great thing he came out with it because, okay. Well, he inspired me. Reading the book inspired me to go to the gym. I got my first gym membership because of that book. And when I decided to really focus on losing weight, I went back to that book. At the time, I had diabetes. I wasn't living well at all. Like, I
wasn't
okay.
When you say living well, was it like the Jonah Hill thing where it's like, I didn't even know you're supposed to eat vegetables?
I knew,
just ate chips all the time.
I knew it. I was aware. I think it was more of a self-destruction thing. It wasn't a good thing.
See, that's always interesting. Your pro wrestling can do that. It can inspire people, even though, you know, people are always like, it's fake. And I'm always like, well, you watch movies.
Everything is
but I mean, these people, they're showing a side of themselves that's kind of real.
Yeah.
You know? And, but I read the book, and when I met him.
How did this meeting come about?
It was at WrestleMania Access at 29.
Yeah.
So it was
this one you had the get the ticket for, or what is some
random thing? Dude, you had to go to Ticketmaster, fight for like 3 hours with Ticketmaster, and hopefully not crashing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got my tickets. My wife got the ticket for me to meet Triple H, and we ended up getting her one so we could both meet him.
Oh, that's cool.
And we met him, and it was a very awkward situation because I was number 3 in line.
Oh, so you had to like look while the other people were...
Well, that was a plan. Like, I was told we had 60 seconds to tell him.
Yeah,
everyone would tell him 60 seconds.
60 seconds?
Yeah, but shake his hand, he signed an autograph, whatever.
Now, are you good at meeting, like, your idols or famous people?
Well, I never have.
Is this the first one?
Well, famous people I have. And famous people don't really bother me.
Yeah.
I don't really get starstruck. It's just not my thing. You're a human being who makes money do something else.
I feel like it's different. There's a difference between meeting a famous person and a person you're a fan of, too.
Right. I met Macho Man when I was a kid. Like, it wasn't like...
Were you a fan of Macho Man, or you just like you knew him?
Yeah, I was like, it's like my dad drove him around. Like, oh, hey, that's you. Hey, okay, whatever.
Hey, what's up, brother?
It was kind of weird. He was like, oh, I'm a kid. You're an adult. You still talk his way in real
life. I'm a kid. You're an adult.
He talks his way in real life. But no, but the two guys in front of me, when we got into the building, they ran off.
They ran off?
Because when you get the VIP access, you get to go in before everyone else goes.
Oh, okay.
So their strategy, which I didn't know what was going on, they were gonna run to other people. That was a guaranteed meet and greet.
Yeah.
You're gonna meet them no matter what. So they ran around to other people to beat the lines. And I'm there, and I'm not first, and I'm not okay. Because now my 6 second spiel about like, hey, thank you. So I go up to them and I say, I just want to thank you for saving my life. And then I start talking and I'm crying. Because
you know the cameras were already around?
Well, no, but they weren't around at the moment.
How was it set up? Was it just like a stage that you just walk up to, or is it like?
It was a stage, like a little, it was a table. It was in an arena, it was a very unique situation. And so you walk up to the stage, you shook his hand, you met him, took a picture, that was it.
Yeah.
And, I started talking, and he stopped. One, he's a boss, so he can do whatever, like.
He can stop it.
Well, when he first came out, he did this, in character, like, hey, everyone.
Yeah.
And then he got in boss mode, so how long they been in line, what's going on. So we're talking, he just stops, and he looks at me and listens. I have my before and after picture in my hand, and I give it to him, and he's just listening. And he says, I'm proud of you. You say all this about me, but I'm proud of you. And he we take a picture together. And he's like, dude, stay here real quick. He gets the camera crew. We do an interview real quick. That's what's on YouTube right now. And I still can't watch that video, actually. They found that after WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
They were like, I told them, we did a full interview and I told them about that, and they found the clip in the archives, and they put it on YouTube.
And they filmed everything. I saw Dolph Ziggler in online. It was like Mattel toy line at New York Comic Con maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and they were filming that.
They're on contract.
Yeah,
I mean, you are
being
a WWE superstar.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like they have to give up part of their life just to be part of that brand and that character, and it's devotion of the whole staff.
So you have this one section. Now you're at WrestleMania. You don't know that your picture is going around everywhere, but then you come back here. Did you feel something different?
I felt something different when I left the arena. When I left the stadium.
Oh, really? Was that instant?
It was bad.
It was bad?
Well, so... I was coming up, I had like Superdome to go up and then get leave the stadium.
And it's a stadium show, this is a lot of people too.
Right? This is Superdome, this is 75,000 people almost in a venue. And the whole time you're up front, you're not really looking at the monitor the whole time.
Yeah.
You're just looking in front of you. So I didn't know I was on camera that long.
Yeah.
So I go outside and one guy was like, "It's you." I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. It's you, dude, let's take a picture." I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on. I need to get out of here.
People are already on here.
Yeah, so I get outside, and then I'm like, it gets bad. Like, it's you. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're like, I didn't do anything.
Right. I had people who were from this area who were there, and they're like, dude, you are freaking famous. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I would say a couple hundred people outside the Superdome started approaching me. I was like, I have to get out of here. Got in the car, charged my phone. Woke up the next day, my phone didn't charge.
It did not charge?
Notifications. Oh. One guy took a picture with me. He was like, "Hey, what's your Twitter name?" "Oh, cool, it's Ellis Embed. @LSEmbed. He was like, "Cool." And I was like, "Crap, that's my name." I just gave him my name out.
That's it, man. Security's over.
Crap. So, yeah, I found out the next day, it was, yeah.
Because even though the next day they played it on Raw too, it's on all those promo packages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on TMZ, it was on the internet. I was a meme.
That's a different world though, because now that I've never been a meme, Carolyn makes memes. I've never been one of any of those. Like, to be a meme, was that a new a new experience for you? Because now you're the response of other people's expressions. You know.
Well, yes, I think it is new to me.
Did you like it? I don't know about this. Do you like memes, first of all?
Well, I do because I understand them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a meme is an idea. You have an idea, you put some words to it, it's an expression, it's just an idea that's in picture format. And I've gotten used to that idea, I'm cool with that. I just don't like it when it gets offensive.
Have there been some offensive ones?
There have been some offensive ones.
You or towards just whatever they're trying to comment on?
Towards whatever they're trying to comment on, or some with me, and I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I think that just comes with the territory of being a public face now, and even though you didn't ask for it, and you were just happened to be a fan in the audience, you still have reached that level where you are going to get a few people that cross that line, and they want to get attention for themselves too.
Right.
I think there are some people that really just love your face and love the moment, and they just roll with that, and they just want to have fun with it, which is what we're doing today.
Yes.
And there's other people who, they for whatever reason, they want that attention from anybody. And it's not just you. It's other people are handling that, negativity, and,
right.
They just are taking shots just because people want to. The haters, what you're going to do.
Yeah,
haters going to hate.
There again, that's right. Haters got to hate. I'm cool with that, I'm just like...
But for them, that's their entertainment, but, they don't realize... Or they do realize that it might hurt somebody, but yeah, with that, you just gotta take it in stride, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not at your level of face, but.
Well, I say this, there's a lot more positive people out there than negative.
Yeah.
And when I go to shows, when I meet people, I hardly ever meet a negative person.
Yeah. I mean, why would somebody be a negative? I mean, it's silly for them to be, because you weren't even putting yourself in that position. Everything you say is very positive, and even your weight loss and everything. I wanted to hear more about that, because I do DDP yoga.
What?
And yes.
do you do DDP yoga?
So have you ever tried some?
Oh, yoga?
The DDP yoga or any type of yoga?
You see, yoga to me, I respect that because
you respect yoga.
There is so much involved. I respect every workout plan. It's like when you
pick devotion.
One, yeah, that's devotion, and there is some intense stuff that I can't do that I'm afraid to do. I'm gonna break a hip. I do Olympic lifting, so I can't break a hip. I need my hips to get the weight over my head. So I see it, I respect it. I'm like, I'll cheer you on.
Yeah,
I will hold aside.
Because like he taught me, I always like reference this around the house and stuff. I'm like, yo, bro, you can eat all the vegetables you want. Because I just thought that was so cool. Because I'm like, wow, I can, like, other stuff, you know, you got a limit. But vegetables, man, if you get hungry at night, get some vegetables.
Seriously, broccoli is my thing.
Broccoli. I just had some.
Really?
There's some in the hallway.
Okay.
There's some damn good broccoli. Yeah.
So after show party, broccoli.
Your brain's room is broccoli.
But yeah, so what was your plan? So you're reading this Triple H book, and you're like, man, I need to change my life. Like,
yeah.
I can see you have that thought in your head. And what was some of your first steps and any type of encouragement that you can give to others? Even if, you know, I still feel like I'm fine with my body. I'm not overweight. You know, I look fine. I'm good. But I still have this thing because I'm working a lot. I'm sitting and I'm looking at a computer screen.
Right.
That is my job. I mean, and a lot of people, that is the reality of work right now. And I just don't like sitting for 8 hours without moving. And then when I get up, I'm like a skeleton. I'm like, you know, like my hands is like in the mouse holding position. It's just not right, you know?
Right.
So I do it just to move around. I feel like moving is awesome. And so what was some of your first steps? I want to hear about your journey.
My journey was, I took a workout plan. Like, I took his workout plan, went to the gym, I didn't see the results. I got frustrated. And then...
Now, did you have a personal trainer, or are you just doing this on your own?
I did this on my own. The weight loss, literally, was on my own. And I, at the time, my now wife, I was dating her at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I realized I wanted to be here for her. And I realized I wanted to be here for a long time. So that kind of turned the, I guess, the knob to on, or beast mode on, you know?
Yeah.
And I started changing my diet. I just stayed really focused. I was dedicated to the actual plan, ate well, and just kept going. That was my motivation, was to be here longer.
Was that bad? You thought like,
dude, I was stress eat. I was an emotional eater. I wasn't okay, and I didn't. I can honestly say that if I never picked up the book, I would probably be dead. I would. No, like I was heading towards, I was depressed.
So I need to check out that book.
Well, I think the issue is seeing sources of inspiration and taking steps with the sources of inspiration. Because everyone's like, oh, that's inspiring.
Yeah.
Well, then take a step with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I decided to take a step with it.
And also, since he's your favorite wrestler and, you know, somebody you look up to, I feel like hearing it from him impacted it in your brain more than you could hear it from somebody else.
Yeah.
And just hearing it from Triple H made it really engulfing you.
It made sense. I mean, this reading made sense. And then, dude, when I met him, like, again, I still can't watch it.
So
it was.
Now you're first in line.
Mm-hmm.
You had, I guess, you didn't have a lot of time to think of what you're gonna say, or were you already planning what you're gonna say to him the whole day?
I was planning my 60 seconds. Cause you pay that money. You pay money to go.
Did you say what you were planning on saying, or did it change?
It changed. I just rambled. Like, I
what were you planning on? What you're planning on?
I was going to say, hey, Triple H, my before and after picture, thank you so much. You're awesome. Thank you for putting out a great book. That was all I was going to plan on saying.
That was 60 seconds.
And I was like, I have to cut it down, get it, take a picture, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw him, dude, you don't really get to meet people. People read books and get inspired by stuff.
Yeah.
You don't really get the people, you don't get the chance to meet the people who inspire you in a way that you change your lifestyle. And that's what made that unique. That's what, at that very moment, I felt everything that I felt the past couple of years going through that journey.
That's crazy. That's crazy because like that is a very rare moment where you meet the person that made you become a better person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, Maybe that's fate, man. Those two people, they were meant to be in front of you.
Well, those two people were the two people behind, they're two rows behind me, they're the ones who told me I'm viral now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't know that, because I don't forget faces, so I'll forget your name. I won't forget your face.
Yeah.
Won't forget your face.
They don't know that I was actually being kind to them for the whole weekend. Like, each time I saw my access, I would do something like randomly nice for them that they didn't realize. They didn't realize that at all. I just, because of them, I met them first, and I got to say what I wanted to say. And they just don't realize, they're father and son, they go to every WrestleMania.
Wow. So have you seen them since?
I have. They were at 30. They were at 31. Oh, 31, they'll be there for, it's a father and son trip for them.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're having fun. But I guess on the weekend, they're all about, this is what we do, and that's very
serious. So is there like a whole tradition of WrestleMania where you see the same people and kind of have like your own little convention?
I'm assuming, meetup. When did you start liking like pro wrestling anyway?
How was
that journey for you?
My mom's from Cameroon. I grew up with my mom and my grandmother. My grandmother was also from Cameroon.
Yeah.
She didn't speak English.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know where that is.
It's in West Africa. All right, I know that everyone knows Nigeria, but Nigeria. It's next to it. It's Nigeria. We watched wrestling when I was a kid. And it was back when it was cartoonish or whatever.
Yeah.
But my grandmother, my mom, we would sit there and watch wrestling. That was the peaceful time of our family life.
To watch two guys beat each other up.
Right, but it was the story. Like, yeah. I remember my grandmother freaking out when Jake the Snake would throw a snake into the ring. And then, like, as an adult now, I'm like, we're watching television. There's no reason for you to be acting like you're horrified that someone is throwing a snake into a ring.
Did they have to tell you, like, the reality of it, or was it just all just legit?
My mom and grandmother thought it was real up until 100% real up until 2 weeks ago.
Dude, that's, you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I love it. I love it when people think it's real, man.
Yeah.
When they really, really think it's real.
Well, I mean, one, my mom and my grandma aren't like social media or internet hogs. Yeah. They don't know it, but I explained to them, like, hey, it's an act. It's a show. They get hurt. If they get hurt, they get hurt. Like Seth Rollins destroyed.
Yeah.
But there is no name, supposedly. This is
what?
Floating, like, it's
are you serious?
Like, you hear about this?
No, I mean, I knew he's injured, but I have not heard the report.
So, it's
breaking news.
ACL, MCL, and meniscus. And, like, his knee was, like, he had an interview today. He posted online. And he said his knee was floating around. He said he didn't feel any pain, but he was like, I can't walk on it.
Ooh.
Like, this is real. Like, when people get hurt, it's legit.
Yeah. Ooh.
So, I'm like, Taker, again, I saw the man get hurt. Like, you're not okay, dude. Like, it's... So I told my mom, I was like, hey, you know, it's a show. They're not going to really kill people. Like, no, someone is not going to take a cinder block and break it over your head. That's not real. That's illegal. You'll get arrested.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, like, the funny thing is I always, even with my wrestling friends... The logic of like, you know, you almost ran me over with a car, now we must settle this in the ring. The logic of just, if you get past that, it's like, you know what I mean? And then the only way to win this real fight is to count a person down for three. If you can get past just that logic, you can have a ball with this art form.
Well, I think you would think too hard about it. I mean, you're just feel the emotion, take the ride. And that's the reason why my mom enjoyed it. She, like, the present I got her for her last birthday was an Apple TV and subscription for a year.
It's a good present.
Yeah, the present. And she forget every app. Forget the iTunes, forget all this stuff, forget the Netflix that
went on for free.
That's all she needed. She would call me. She has Bluetooth in the car. She doesn't know how it works. She knows it just turns on and it works. Yelling at me in her car. Unnecessary. You don't need to yell in the car, Mom. Yelling. Am I going to make it on time for my wrestling? It's happening.
That's so awesome, man.
You know, it's. But you got to take the feeling. We think too hard about it, though. Just feel the emotion. Just watch it. Enjoy it. Yeah, it's not. It's, you know, choreographed. But, dude, like, these guys are doing amazing things.
I mean, just hearing about Seth Rollins, it's like...
Oh, it was nasty. It was a nasty.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... It's kind of heartbreaking, too, to know that people are willing to put their bodies through so much for other people's enjoyment. And that always mind-boggled me. And like I knew about Seth Rollins, actually, a little earlier because of ROH and Jimmy Jacobs. I'm a Jimmy Jacobs fan, gotta say. And, you know, like, just watching it live, too. Like, have you been to any ROH stuff?
I want to, but...
Because they do some stuff in Baltimore.
I do. I've been trying to, but each time I went to, like, the two parkour for me, yeah. They might attack me, and like, yo, take a guy, we hate you, push him. I'm like, I can't do that. You can't, no. It's too, I feel like that's too rowdy.
Yeah, they're pretty rowdy.
No, not that pretty. You're rowdy. Yeah. You throw chairs. You get upset. you get into it, so.
Yeah.
But I want to. I follow the product, too. I like Ring of Honor. Kind of a fan of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a fan of TNA.
It's okay, you can admit that.
No,
I mean, you're not a wrestling fan.
I watch TNA for Matt Hardy. Because I met Matt Hardy, and he's a cool guy, and I think he's a great human being. Outside of what happened a couple years ago, he's a great human being. You know?
And he was at the ROH show we saw. So yeah, he's around.
And that's a guy where a lot of people always attack him for his looks too. I remember when Carolyn and I went to an ROH show, and you know they have when he's going through the entrance, they always had that last camera shot. And we saw this guy who was literally on one side of the arena who had a fat Hardy sign. We can see him try to run all the way back and try to get that sign right on camera, right next to him. I'm like,
it was
really,
a little rude. Like, I mean, like I get the joke, whatever, it rhymes with Matt. But like, it's just that's how the fans are, and you know, again, like we're addressing earlier, some people just want to express themselves like that. I never understood why people want to put out negative signs like that.
Well, there's
like, I'm
plenty,
like, man, you must really hate somebody that much,
and,
you know?
But let's be honest. Part of the fun of watching like a live wrestling show on television is trying to point out those signs.
Yeah.
Trying to
sometimes.
Point out all those signs, man, like pork and two, all those things that are out there.
What was the
there.
Pork thing?
I have no idea.
There was always a
you're
sign.
You're talking about?
There's a sign.
The sign kept bringing pork. The sign just said pork.
Wasn't that like in the 90s?
You guys remember that? Pork? No? He doesn't remember. Oh my god.
I did see it.
I'm not that. You know what? Another one of my favorite moments of like just like news. Remember that time CM Punk was on like on the top, right?
Yeah.
He just lost to The Rock. And then there was this guy, this is like in 2012 or something like that. And this guy, this old man, I mean, I guess I can say old man. He got robbed at like a liquor store. Like, you remember that story?
Yes.
And then like he got like shot, and he like survived the shot. And he was in the hospital. And then the only thing like after he woke up, the only thing he can say was like, yeah, it sucks that my store got robbed. But damn, did CM Punk lose The Rock?
Yes.
He's all mad and not bad.
Yeah,
that's how deep pro wrestling gets, man.
I love that moment. I think CM Punk addressed that too.
Yeah, he called him up on like the radio.
Yeah,
and like that radio interview was so great. You've done like lots, bunch of radio interviews or interviews in general. Like this one was cool because you know it's an older guy, right? And CM Punk calls in. He's like, hey, I really appreciate what you did and like all the love. I'm gonna give you two tickets and. The guy would just not stop. He didn't know he got the tickets. Like, actually, you're just awesome. You're the greatest, you know? This guy was like old blues man style of like crazy.
Yeah.
It was so great, man. Did you ever have any other, what was the last time you were actually really mad at pro wrestling?
Mad?
Yeah. Like, you're like, I don't know, I'm not gonna watch this anymore.
Never.
Never?
I've never been that upset to say I'm gonna stop watching television. I've been watching since I was a child.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop now. I'm so angry.
Cause you
take a loss. I'm so angry.
You always see those comments. Yeah. You always see those comments on the board. You're like, well, if he wins, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'll never come back.
Is a friend of mine. He bought WrestleMania tickets earlier this week, and then the whole thing with Seth Rollins happened, and he says, if Roman Reigns wins the belt, I'm gonna sell my tickets to WrestleMania. I'm not gonna go. I just shut up, sit down, and read something. Like, you're not going to sell your tickets to WrestleMania. I'm not going to go. Yes, you are.
This is like, to me, this is like the Star Wars theory. People are going to talk trash about the new Star Wars. They still got your money. You're going to go watch it.
Right.
You can complain all you want, but you can sneak in. You're still going to watch it. They still got your $20 ticket.
Because remember, 31, people were like, this is going to suck. This is going to be the worst WrestleMania ever. This is going to be horrible. Then the cashing happened, and then everyone, this is the best WrestleMania.
It's so crazy how the fans turn very quick.
Yeah.
Dude, I was talking to Mike Jones from DC 101 and saying that you're gonna be on this, you're gonna be here, and he was like, "Oh my God, that dude is like the most famous wrestling fan base ever."
You know what's funny? I met him, and I think it was awesome. I met him at OfconCon.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of him. For him.
It was like a cosplay for a shop?
No, it wasn't a awkward shop. He was there with me. He was like, "I need a picture, you take it for me." I'm like, "Cool, no problem." Took it for him. And we just talked for a little bit, rapped about wrestling, and he's a really nice guy. I didn't know he was that big of a fan of the product.
Oh, he's legit. He's legit.
It's funny how also all the fans know who the other fans are. It's like a whole network of fandom.
Yeah. Someone, you know, Brock Lesnar guy.
Was that an Ed Hardy shirt or Affliction shirt?
I think it's Affliction.
I always remember them by their shirts now.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta think about what you're gonna wear now when you go out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today.
So you gotta wear the same shirt to every event you go to.
Yeah.
No matter what. I don't care.
Is that what you've been doing?
No.
Because you wore the Heyman, no, the Heyman shirt.
I wore the Heyman shirt because I'm a Paul Heyman fan. Right. People tell me, like, "You should wear the same shirt." I'm like, "Dude, no. I don't do that."
Like, that's a white shirt. That's hard to take care of.
Right. I'm like, well, also, I just don't. I'm a fan. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a fan who sits right here. That's who I am. I'm just some guy you just probably have on your wallpaper or somewhere.
Now, did you ever think about being a pro wrestler? Was there ever a time where, like, you know what? Because I feel like you have a go. You ever thought about that at that point? Like, maybe I can start joining them.
Maybe you can audition them, like NXT.
Someone approached me.
Well, someone came up to you and like, "Hey, you have a good look. I like your face."
Well, someone from an indie show said, "Hey, man, you can do this." And I'm like, "No, I don't. I can't be thrown around. I can't do that. And plus, I have this thing where I don't play well."
What do you mean you don't play well?
So, like, if you throw me, I'm gonna get up immediately. I'm hurt. Like, it's over. It's done. We're fighting. It's like, it's over. I feel like it's like Brock Lesnar. Like, everyone afraid of Brock Lesnar might actually think it's real.
Right.
So no, I can't be thrown around.
But did you ever think about that? Were you ever like thinking about gimmicks? You ever thinking about, you know, I should try this one?
No, I just love being a fan. So one thing about me is that he won't say I'm not famous, but I'm a fan. I like being a fan, and I like what I do outside of wrestling, outside of being a fan.
Yeah.
I help people become famous. I help
people. You put them over?
Well, yes. I put people, I make sure people, you know, go over. I like promoting things. I like helping other people benefit and become better. I'm not all about being in the spotlight. So
with the powerlifting, I want to know what goes on there, because first of all, like, what exactly is powerlifting?
Well, powerlifting is deadlift, bench, and deadlift, bench, and some other movement. Mm-hmm. But I don't powerlift.
Okay.
Everyone uses the word powerlift. I'm like, I Olympic lift. I do clean and jerk snatch. That's the two movements. You do the snatch, which is one movement. Bars above your head.
Okay.
Then clean and jerk is two movements.
So I was talking to Carolyn about this when she mentioned the Olympic lift, and I was like, "Wait, did this guy go to the Olympics?"
No.
That's really sad.
I think so, but
we called it weightlifting, and then everyone's like, "What's weightlifting?" The one they do is something doing the Olympics. That's what they okay. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So the powerlifting is like, so you know the difference, because the difference between both is the bars above your head. The bars above your head, you're Olympic lifting.
Olympic.
Right. If the bar is just up in the air, then you're just powerlifting or something.
So how'd you get into that? Because that seems intense.
After meeting Triple H,
uh-huh.
I was trying to change my workouts out, my workouts and everything, and after meeting him, I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll do CrossFit. And then I did CrossFit for about 7 months. And then my coach was like, let's get you out of this. The coach of the CrossFit group, he goes, let's get you into the Barbell Club. What's Barbell Club? Just come through. I go in, I do a front squat, which is a squat with the bar on your shoulders instead of the front of you, instead of your back. And I did it, and he's like, sit there in the squat. I'm like, okay, whatever. It's like 185 pounds, whatever. He's like, and the whole team was surrounding me. And I'm like, am I being recruited or something?
You're like, am I driven?
Yeah. Scouting you already.
So I stopped CrossFit night in the Olympic lifting, and that's all I do is Olympic lift.
So how often do you train? Like, what's your schedule like? What's the average week for Ellis?
Average week is work. Go to a normal Globo gym, which is like a Fitness Evolution or like a Gold's gym. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days out of the week, I go to my barbell club.
Did you say barbell club?
Barbell club, where there's a disco ball, there's a DJ.
Yes. And then people are just lifting around while there's disco music just rocking around.
You have to barbell up your head, so doing some gyrations like a biggie.
Like a biggie? Yeah. I love dances,
oh, I love it.
What's the thing with the knee? Like, I'll demonstrate a little bit. Like, he's going like this. Like,
that's not
like
what does that.
There's more gyrating.
I hit that scene back.
I've seen him do that, though, with his knee. He's, I don't know what that's all about, but I like it.
I was so close to getting the New Day theme to play today.
And I love New Day so much.
Are you a fan of, are you guys a fan of the New Day?
Yeah.
Wait. How long were you a fan? Because like, I was a New Day fan
from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Me too.
Well, I was at the beginning though, because I like New Day when they just sent three of them out there without a name. Remember that?
Oh yes.
For like 2 weeks.
Yes, I do remember.
Foundation of Domination.
Yeah, the Foundation of Domination.
Everything. Are they the New Nation? No. It was 2015. we can't do that no more. When they were here for SmackDown. And everyone was booing them as New Day.
Yes.
Me and this other guy were the only two people in this arena dancing.
I love it.
And I was like, and they caught us on camera too. And I was like, dude, like, how is no one loving this? But there's a guy next to me who's like, what the hell are you doing? Stop dancing.
I was loving them because I wanted them to go on like full preacher mode, to be like, praise the Lord.
Right.
Like all that stuff. Like I was, but now they're finally getting into that groove more. But man, they can take it to higher levels, I think, even further.
Would you say, in your opinion, is that the hottest thing in WWE right now? New Day?
At the very moment, because there's no more Seth Rollins.
But yet, Seth was still able to play up, up, down, on up, up, down, down.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's on it.
He'll be on it for several weeks, maybe. Well, yeah. That'll be the appearance of Seth.
I think they are them and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is.
You should hear. Karen was talking some trash about Kevin Owens in Ring of Honor. It was awesome.
Okay, every Ring of Honor show we went to, seriously, like I just couldn't get into him. Like I was just like, oh, I don't.
It was great because Kevin Owens would come out.
I didn't really like him.
Kevin Owens would come out, destroy like Little Red would do a package power driver.
Because Karen, I love Little Red.
Yeah, and then Karen would be like, look at him, he's like a nobody. he's coming out with his big stomach.
I didn't really get into him, but like I have heard his interviews. I don't remember what show it was on. Was it on Colts or?
I would say Kevin Owens is freaking hilarious. Like on commentary.
When he talks about his zoo animals, like how much he loves going to a zoo and stuff. Like I like him as a person. Yeah. I'm still not really like engaged with him as a wrestler as much because I like my wrestlers to be a little bit more comedy in them. Like me personally, I don't think of him wrestling wise. It was comedy. So like I'm not saying he's a bad guy or whatever. I just don't like. I don't feel intrigued to like. Be engaged with him as a wrestler.
But did you watch NXT?
No.
You know, when he was on NXT, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
So, his character, so, same guy, right? Different name. But what they do is that they expose certain things. So your amp version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When they started showing, hey, you know what? I'm doing this for my kid, my family. I'm putting food on their table,
mm-hmm.
And he was focused on that. That's what hooked me. I was like, oh, you're the man.
Yeah.
You're doing this, and you can do whatever you have to do to win and support your family. Dude, you got my buy-in.
Because they have that with the lollipop dude. I can't remember his name now.
Oh.
The linen.
Adam Rose.
We almost forgot his name. Oh my gosh.
That's pretty bad. Anyway, but aren't they repackaging him?
You just called him
the lollipop guy, but that's... But then they can have like the whole lollipop guild come out, all the dancers. But yes, Adam Rose, which Jimmy Jacobs was one of the dancers, I have to say, for one time, I guess. Anyway, but yeah, so Adam Rose was doing it all for his family too. So I thought that was cool.
ESPN, what was that?
ESPN,
something. It was like the 30, but they, one day do anything with that. They just let it be.
Yeah.
They should have had more in that series. I liked it.
Right. It was, I mean, the new Breaking Ground.
Yeah.
That's money. But they did nothing with Adam Rose after that happened. Yeah. And you're like, oh, he's still not.
But aren't they repackaging him?
I thought I heard.
Buddy's coming back.
Yeah, just,
Bunny is coming back.
Yeah, the dark bunny. The dark bunny.
It'll be Braun Strowman. Did you? It'll come out. It was me.
Alex, did you watch Tough Enough?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yes.
Did it turn out every way you expected it to be?
At the very end, yes. You know why?
Who are you for going in though? We watched that.
Oh, Patrick Clark.
Because that was a good night of television.
Patrick was also from the D.C. area.
I know Patrick.
Or is he from Baltimore, D.C.?
D.C., he grew up, he went to high school in Maryland.
Okay.
He did wrestling in Maryland. But I met him when he was a trainee in MCW.
Okay, so you've known him for a while.
I know for a little bit. We're not tight, but I'm like, hey, I know you. Hey, yeah. I'm supporting you. Whatever you need from me and my end, from what my skill set is outside of wrestling. Yeah. And
so when he got eliminated that on that episode, did you vote first of all?
Yeah. Even when I was training, I had to train like on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
And
you were like, I gotta be home for the
last one. No. Honey, I told my wife, text me. If he's on the chopping block, let me know. I'm gonna put up, like, if you see my post online, they look legit. Like, I'm gonna get this trending. Let's go. Yeah. Let's get this guy staying.
But you saw the episode, the last final episode?
Yep.
Now, do you think that he would? I mean, for me, if there was one day that he would have been voted off, it would have been that, because they didn't paint him in that great of a light. Yeah. He had that sort of like.
Maybe it was the editing.
And that, there you go. It's a show. You know, there is a show, it's a reality show. They're edited in a certain way. And the reason I said at the very end, it came out the way I thought it would come out, because he got a contract.
They all got signed anyway.
Right. And that's the thing.
Even CeCe.
Right, even CeCe.
I thought he was entertaining, but I will say it is kind of disheartening to, like, maybe he has stepped up, but I guess he wasn't really doing his exercises and working out
have
like
you
he
seen
should.
If you see Breaking Ground, they ain't changed.
See, that kind of irritates me. That irritates me, man. Because ZZ like does have a personality that he could run with it, but you gotta be in shape for this type of activity. I mean, it's wrestling. It's not personality. It's called wrestling.
Right.
So you gotta have the skills.
Like, can you roll? Nope. Okay. Can you stop?
I wonder what they're gonna have him do though. Like, I.
Each time I think about him, I just.
Was there a moment where you're like, okay, maybe he could try this?
Well, so here's the thing, right? So I'm on social media and I want to tweet. And I can't tweet what I want to tweet sometimes because I have a large audience.
Yeah.
So I can't just say like crappy things.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is everyone thinking? Why is he still here? How is this possible? Who's voting for him? This is rigged.
I have to say, I did vote for him one time. I forget who he was up against, but I was just like, oh,
see his face? Disappointment.
I'm sorry.
She did that
shock. Shocked. I mean, I was just like, oh, it's easy. Because they kind of, they did paint him in like this light that he is a good dude and all that. I think he does have a good heart and all that, but he does gotta step up.
Yeah.
Because he'll get hurt. At least do it for that.
Or hurt somebody.
Yeah.
I think it's very like, if you're reckless and you don't know what you're doing, you get hurt, that's on you. But you can't be in a situation where you hurt other people. And that's where...
I think his inexperience, too, he's 19, and, you know, when I was 19, I don't know how it would be if I had a WWE contract, but, like, you know, he might have, like, a total different viewpoint. So,
I'd like to end this podcast with, now we know that Seth Rollins is injured.
I would like you
to prophesize what's gonna happen. Seth Rollins is out. He's out for what, six, eight months?
Yes.
How do you see the next couple weeks happening? Or what do you want to see actually?
I want to see everyone step up. I need I want Kevin Owens to come out. Say, guess what? I'm a man, and do his thing. I want to see everyone else who's right now entertaining to be the main event. Like that's all I want. I want a good show. I want people to be like, hey, you know what? I'm stepping up. I'm not doing the same crap every night. I'm doing something different. I want to take advantage of this moment.
Yeah.
But right now, I prophesize that Kevin Owens will be champion.
Wow.
I like that.
And not Roman Reigns, he'll get later on. Kevin Owens, the best year? Has it been a year?
Not even a year, man.
One of the best year ever. First year ever in WWE history.
What a debut.
Yeah. NXT champion, then debuting on a pay-per-view, beating Cena.
It's pretty big.
IC champion, WWE champion, 1 year.
And I love the story about his son, too, with Cena. It's just, dude, it's gold.
He is gold. Kevin Owens' story is gold. He is a parent who is trying to provide for his family.
Yeah, and from a graphic design standpoint, because you know how he has like the KO with like the silver tape, whatever that is, I don't know what it's called.
Duct tape.
Yes, thank you, duct tape. They need to make like a gold KO, like when he becomes champion. Those shirts.
And you should make them right now, get them online. That's true. The moment happens at Survivor Series. Just all
those. Am I allowed to though?
Oh, no, actually, you'll be a student.
I know.
They're strong.
I don't know about that.
Alice, I'd like to thank you, sir, for sharing your story.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. I thought it was really great.
Awesome.
High five.
Bam!
Yes. All right. I'll play us out some tunes.
Man, what a freaking awesome interview that was. That was the Carolyn and Joe Show live from the DC Podfest with our awesome guests, Ellis and Ba, the Undertaker, what was his name?
Shocked Undertaker guy. How could you forget?
Escaped my mind. Because like the thing would happen during the podcast is it went beyond that. It went beyond just that. We started to know him. We started to get into who Ellis was. You know?
I kind of wish. I know this is a hard thing for him, but it might be really hard to like shed the whole like Shocked Undertaker guy because it's his expression was timeless. But I really want to just know him as Ellis now. I don't want to call him Shocked Undertaker guy anymore. I just want to call him like one of WWE's top fans, Ellis.
I gotta say, just like learning about him, hearing him talk about the whole entire story, why just that day, that weekend, that WrestleMania weekend, why that was just so special to him. You know, that almost brought a tear to my eye. It was so special just to have that there, and especially have that awesome interview happened at the first ever DC Podfest, and it reminded me why we do this. We don't really do this. We don't you know, cater the show to be like funny. We don't really cater. We don't cater to just be geeky. We cater the show to be real and to tell stories and to you know, let this be something that we can give people, you know, and have them maybe feel something. Hopefully it means something to somebody. And to have that interview was really amazing. It shocked me. I lie. It shocked me how much that
shocking Joe.
Yeah, the Shock Joe guy. You know how great just having him there, man, and telling that story and learning about him. That's why we do this. That's why I do this, and I'm really happy that we did that.
And I thought it was really cool that he was inspired by a lot of WWE superstars to change his life, and maybe other people will hear his story and they will get inspired themselves. Like. Be inspired by Ellis, so he'll be like a third degree of the inspiration. I think that's really cool because I felt inspired.
Absolutely. I mean, I really was. And thanks for everyone who was there watching it. I mean, I felt like it was a good energy.
It was a great show, and I think anyone that was there like witnessed history in their own way.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, I feel like Ellis is like passing down all the history. Like he was there. We feed off that energy. So now everyone that will listen to this. Thanks for listening. Now you are a part of that WrestleMania, and everyone gets a piece of the glory of that fan.
And definitely thank you, DC Podfest, for letting us, you know, pretty much main event the night.
I mean, we closed out the show, so I would say that's main eventing.
That's how I see it. It was pretty great. It was a great Podfest all around, great location, and I hope that just keeps on happening every single year. Every single year just gets better, bigger. I don't even know. It's the first time having a Podfest. I've never been to a Podfest before, but I was happy to be there.
Yeah, it was a great time. And again, thank you to Ellis for agreeing to be there live in person. That's a pretty big deal. And really excited that we had this interview with him and we were able to speak with him in person. That's what matters. Because, Joey, do you realize that all of our interviews that we've ever done are in person? We've never done Skype.
Absolutely not. We do this real.
We've never
we
done
do this
phone
real.
Calls.
Face to face.
Face to face.
Face to face with Carolyn and Joe. That's how it is. And that's how it's always going to be for as long as we can make this happen. Face to face.
Shocked face.
Shocked face to face. And maybe that's why it was great. It was great to do that. So, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll catch you next week. This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Check out my work, joecarabeo.com, goastray.tumblr.com, one-shots.com, soundcloud.com/Mr.
So many websites.
Bandit. What do you got, Carolyn?
Oh, wow. I have a website. It's carolynblefsky.com. You can check out all my illustration, design work, and comics. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz. And my comic strip is called Curls. I'm sure you can find it through all of that, but I'll give you the URL just in case. It's curls-studio.com/curls.
There you go. iTunes, Stitcher Radio. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Tell them
you are bona fide.